Welcome in to Locked On Knicks. In case you forgot, we are having an all-time great guest today, and I'll leave it there. Alex, what do we got going on today's show?
We have Ian Bagley of SNY, veteran Knicks beat reporter, one of the best guys on the beat, always getting those scoops, always disproving those unsubstantiated rumors, and providing some of the best reporting, I think, on the whole Knicks beat. So we are very excited to have him on. Going to talk a little bit about some current events with the Knicks, everything from Kyrie and Kevin Durant, the Brooklyn threat, as it were, after their trade the other day. Talk a little bit about Kawhi, Anthony Davis, and of course the third pick in the draft and what the Knicks' plans are with that. So we're going to get into all that and a whole lot more with Ian Bagley next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Knox foul from behind. Count it and one. As Fisdale pumps his fist.
Milikina. What he does is contagious.
Oh, Robinson with a catch and slam. Across the lane to Trier. Trier drives. Oh!
Becomes infectious.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, and we hope you are listening to us on Himalaya. Himalaya is free, super easy to use, and has every single podcast you love or are searching for. Himalaya now features personally curated playlists that are made just for you by their expert podcast tastemakers, and it also features themed collections, so that helps you discover themes such as comedy, mystery, thrillers, and sports. You can check all of that out on the Himalaya podcast app, our favorite app to listen to Locked On Knicks. I'm Gavin Shaw. Across the river, he's Alex Wolf, and we are about to be joined by SNY's, that feels weird to say, Ian Bagley, just sort of the class of the Knicks beat. And when Ian comes on, we get a chance to go over Kevin Durant's free agency and how it's affected by the recent Kyrie Irving news, how true the rumors are that Kawhi Leonard could potentially be a candidate for the Knicks, the plausibility of an Anthony Davis trade and how contingent that is on Kevin Durant first signing with the Knicks. And then finally, we finish up talking to him about the third pick and what the Knicks are thinking about doing with it. Before we get started, we wanted to be fully open and honest with you guys. We had a minor recording issue at the beginning, and we missed Ian's first answer, which was on this Kyrie Irving situation and just sort of the news that the Nets seem like the heavy favorite at this point. But fortunately, Alex, Ian just wrote a whole article on that, so we sort of already have his thoughts down. And it sort of served as a good function for the Kevin Durant stuff, because as you'll hear from Ian, they're kind of interconnected.
Yeah, you know, it sucks that we missed it, but thankfully, you know, most of what Ian told us about Kyrie was already reported in his pretty detailed piece the other day. You know, he had a quote from an opposing GM that said Sean, as in Sean Marks, is going for it. The Nets are all in. As far as the Nets' pursuit now of Kyrie and other free agents, I mean, you had to figure that was the case. He did say that, as it, you know, and he said this in his story as well, that he doesn't necessarily believe that the Nets are a done deal. And he, you know, it's not like for sure, but he definitely thinks in his hearing that, you know, that's the way that Kyrie's leaning at the moment, is to signing with the Nets. He also said that, you know, it's a fool's errand to try to get into Kyrie Irving's head and try to figure out what's going on in there, of which I could not agree more, because he seems like a very weird dude. So, yeah, just, you know, some pretty good, you know, info, but also stuff that you can read on his story on SNY for sure. You know, things basically just good reporting on what's going on with the Kyrie situation right now.
All right, so without further ado, let's get into it. Ian Bagley of SNY on Kevin Durant right now.
His preference is to have somebody, a second star, with him here in New York. So based on that, and again, that could change, could not change. But based on that, I think the Kyrie thing is big, because Kyrie was seen as that guy. He was seen as the guy who was going to come here with Kevin. Now you, if you're the Knicks, and you don't think you're getting Kyrie Irving, you have to turn the page and look at other options to bring in to pair with Kevin Durant, whether it's an Anthony Davis, a Campbell Walker, a Jimmy Butler. You know, there has to be somebody else there that you can tell Kevin, hey, we have this player. We're going to get this player. Do you want to play with this guy? So I think that's kind of the predicament that this Kyrie to the Nets scenario puts the Knicks in.
All right, Ian, this is probably sort of an unfair question because no one really has a definite feel for it. But again, I kind of trust you to give us your best gauge of it. How do you kind of handicap the Kevin Durant situation at this point? Because obviously we've gotten inferences throughout the year that it was sort of a done deal and he was coming to New York. And then you start hearing things over the last few weeks like, oh, you know, he might really want to be a Clipper, or he's going to play with Kyrie Irving wherever Kyrie goes. Or, you know, like, don't totally rule out that he could stay in Golden State. And again, no one knows for sure. But where are you at this point with Kevin Durant?
Right. So I think, you know, over the course of the regular season, I kind of heard the same thing, that everybody thought that the most likely scenario was Kevin coming to New York. But that was predicated on, again, having that second star in New York for Kevin to come here with. And I still think that if the Knicks do have that second star, if they could tell Kevin, hey, you know, who do you want to play with? We can get that guy, or we have that guy, or we know we can land him. I think that puts them in great position to land Kevin Durant. But, you know, that's a big gift, especially now with Kyrie Irving and the uncertainty there. I think the Knicks could put themselves in a great position to land Kevin by having that second star, whether it's a trade for Anthony Davis or, you know, a promise from another free agent. But short of that, if they don't have that second star in tow, or they don't convince Kevin that they can get that guy, I think that severely hurts their chances of landing Durant.
So, Ian, there was a report from a friend of the show and your contemporary Mark Berman today at the New York Post about that the Knicks are under the impression that they're going to at least get a meeting with Kawhi Leonard, and that, you know, that it's definitely a possibility as far as Kawhi is concerned. What are you hearing about that? And do you think that there's any scenario where he and KD would entertain playing together? Or you think this is probably, if it's going to happen with Kawhi, it would be like an either or situation?
So I don't, with Kawhi, listen, we know that his people before the trade out of San Antonio, they saw New York as a good destination for him. And based on that, you know, that I think the Knicks should get a meeting with Kawhi, and I know that they'll be aggressive in pursuing Kawhi, just like any other team with enough cap space to land, and will be aggressive in pursuing Kawhi. But does he see the Knicks as a serious destination? Does he strongly consider the Knicks as a free agency? I don't know. Everything that you hear from people around the league and national reporters as well, you know, states it as Toronto or the Clippers for Kawhi Leonard. Nobody's reported or even discussed privately the Knicks being a serious option for Leonard. Same disclaimer as before, guys can change their mind. So yeah, I expect the Knicks to get a meeting as well. And I'm not surprised that they're going to seriously pursue him, because why wouldn't they? But the question you ask is, does he consider the Knicks a serious destination? And that I don't know.
All right, and we'll be right back with Ian Bagley of SNY. But first, just a quick reminder that today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded.
We'll be back with Ian Bagley in a sec, but first we wanted to say thanks to UNTUCKit for sponsoring Locked On Knicks. If you were looking for a great Father's Day idea, their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. All you have to do is go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA to get 20% off. That's promo code NBA.
The other guy you mentioned in regards to Kevin Durant is Anthony Davis. And at least in my mind, that, I mean, even more so than Kyrie Irving, is sort of the biggest second domino on the table. And I guess the biggest thing I want to know is, because you keep hearing talk
of a potential deal, and especially with the Knicks falling to three. Now it sort of feels like everything would be on the table on the Knicks end of things, but how actively are they currently pursuing Anthony Davis? Are there conversations happening? Are there conversations internally about what the Knicks would offer for him? And I guess the big question is what's sort of the timeline for a Davis deal if it were to go down?
Yeah, I don't know if they're having active talks with New Orleans. I would imagine there's a dialogue there, but I certainly don't have anything strongly enough to report. And then I'm sure, yeah, I know they're interested, and I'm sure that they will make an offer if they haven't already. And with regards to the timeline, I think some of that depends on Boston, because if the Celtics believe that Kyrie Irving's leaving, I think that makes them less inclined to make a strong offer for Anthony Davis, because the idea would be to pair Davis with Kyrie, and then you'd feel more comfortable if you're Boston sacrificing some of those young assets. But if Kyrie's leaving, it doesn't make a lot of sense for you to part with, a Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown for Anthony Davis when you're not sure that Anthony is going to re-sign with you. So I think that impacts things. And then with regards to, other potential Davis suitors like the Lakers, I was told as recently as earlier this week that, people in position of influence in New Orleans, they still would prefer not to trade Davis to the Lakers. So while I don't think the Knicks have the strongest package on paper, when you look at the Lakers and you look at the Celtics, those factors could help the Knicks in a Davis deal. And I would assume that anything that happened with regards to Anthony, obviously would be finalized in July, but they would wait until after July 1 if they thought Boston was going to get involved. Oh, and if not, maybe they strongly consider doing something around the draft if they feel like Boston is not going to get involved.
Right. And I guess the logical follow-up, based on what you said about Boston and Kyrie Irving, following that same train of logic, would the Knicks still want to put together an Anthony Davis deal and include the same number of assets if Kevin Durant wasn't coming? Or do you think the deal would be contingent on them thinking they were getting Kevin Durant, or if not, because there's not really anyone of a similar caliber, another star, I guess?
I think it's almost similar to Boston. And this is not like I don't have solid reporting on this, but my sense of things is it's similar to Boston, where if you're not getting Kevin Durant, then you hold on to those young assets and you continue to try to build a young core, because why sacrifice all those assets for Anthony Davis if you don't have any stars to pair him with? And to me, that's the big question for the Knicks right now, is do you remain patient if you strike out in free agency, if you don't get Kevin Durant, if you don't get the other players that you're targeting? Do you punt the summer? Do you make a trade like the Hawks made to acquire first-round picks, take on a bad contract? Do you sign veterans to one-year deals and then just get back in play in the summer of 2020? Or do you panic and do you commit four-year deals to the wrong players? I think that would be the worst-case scenario for the Knicks. Obviously, they're going to probably take a beating publicly if they strike out in free agency this summer. But I think compounding that would be signing the wrong two guys to max contracts and getting in a bad marriage with the wrong players, and then you're ruined for the next couple of seasons. So that, to me, is one of the most interesting factors for New York heading into June 30th, is what are their contingency plans if they don't end up with the guys that they want?
Yeah. So, Ian, we'll try to wrap up, because you've been really generous with your time, and I know you got to go and continue working the beat as hard as you have been lately, which you've been on quite the streak since you started at SNY. So we've certainly been thankful for that. I just am curious what your general thought, or what your general, impression is on the Knicks' thoughts as far as plans for the third pick. Do you feel like their motivation is more to keep it or to trade it and maximize in what's kind of considered to be a weakish draft? Or do you think that they're just really focused on probably taking whoever could be the most tradable, or just straight up looking to trade it for a star?
My sense in general is with that number three pick, if New York sees a possibility to use that pick to put themselves in position to get that second star to to make themselves more attractive for Kevin Durant, then I think they're open to moving the pick. But I think that if that situation doesn't come to fruition, I would expect them to hold on to the pick and make the pick, whether it's RJ Barrett, whether it's John Morant, whether it's Jared Culver, whoever it is, I would expect them to hold on to the pick. But my sense is, again, that they would be open to moving this pick if it was in a scenario where it put them in good position to land that second star to attract a top free agent.
Right. All right, Ian, we can't thank you enough for taking the time. Again, it's Ian Begley at Ian Begley on Twitter, newly a reporter for SNY. Ian, before we send you off, I know obviously you wrote the breaking story on the Kyrie news. There's a story out on RJ Barrett today. Anything coming up or anything you wrote in the past week that people should look out for?
I have a couple of things coming up. I appreciate you asking that. A couple of things coming up on RJ Barrett, just more kind of scouts takes on him leading up to the draft. So we'll have that stuff rolling out next week and then the following week. But yeah, thank you for asking. And I appreciate the kind words, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Ian, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll have you on again soon.
All sounds good, fellas. Take care. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too, Ian.
You too. Bye. All right, and that was a great little interview with Ian Begley of SNY. Just a reminder, today's show is brought to you by Grip 6 Belts. Grip 6 Belts are ultra lightweight with no holes and no flap, and they make a great Father's Day gift. Grip 6 has a special offer for you at grip6.com/lock. That's GRIP, the number 6.com/LOCKE.
All right, that was Ian Begley of SNY, formerly of ESPN. I cannot give him enough shouts for coming on. It was awesome. We'd love to do it again. As always, whenever we get these guys, we wanted to take a little time and sort of go over like his favorite moments, like history on the beat. And like Ian was, because he's a busy dude and he has a full-time job and a half. Didn't have a ton of time today, but it'd be cool to eventually get him back on in the future and go over all of that. But Alex, for the stuff that we were fortunate enough to get, what was sort of your biggest takeaway from that conversation?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I took out of it was actually out of that last question about the third pick and sort of the Knicks' intentions with it, so to speak. Based off what Ian said, I don't really know how much credibility I'm willing to lend to the whole, like, the Knicks might be trading back with, like, Atlanta for 8 and 10 thing that came out, you know, a week and change ago at this point. Because it sounds to me like whatever the Knicks do, if they're going to trade that pick, it's going to be with the intention of acquiring, you know, whatever assets that New Orleans would want in order to facilitate an Anthony Davis trade, or just in general, they're just going to look to deal that pick and, you know, it probably RJ Barrett and, you know, whoever else to try to get another star. I mean, I really hope if the Anthony Davis thing starts to look less realistic that, you know, we'll maybe start hearing Bradley Beal's name or something like that after how strong he closed out last season. You know, it would be great to get him on, because I think that he could be really kind of the perfect complimentary star that can sort of handle the ball a little bit, can definitely score in bunches and all that stuff. But the other thing too is that, you know, he did mention that that the Celtics are going to be a big part of this conversation, because if they decide that they don't want to go all in for AD because they think that Kyrie's leaving for sure, you know, and they're like, well, we'd rather keep our young guys and sort of have an accelerated rebuild with these young players and, you know, maybe be able to add more free agents or whatever, rather than trading them, then, you know, that might be the move for the Celtics. And then, you know, it sounds like you hear like one thing and then the other about this, but it sounds like the Pelicans are not big fans of the Lakers at this point, and they might be less inclined to deal with them as a result. So, you know, it's interesting that the Knicks are sort of in a position where they could, you know, be maybe positioned as the front runner here, and maybe there would even be different teams involved than what we initially thought as far as who the Knicks would have to bid against.
Yeah, to me, that's, I mean, and not just Adam's interview, but all the reporting that's come out over the last week plus. That's sort of the most fascinating aspect of, I think, this podcast, and I think everything going on with the Knicks right now is the idea that for the longest time for Anthony Davis, he was going to be a Celtic or he was going to be a Laker. And then the Knicks, just sort of in the last like few months, like as Mitchell Robinson evolved as the possibility of the Knicks getting the number one pick, what ended up being the number three pick, became more and more real. It seemed like they had asserted themselves. And now it's totally flipped to the point where I would put the Lakers and Celtics as maybe the fourth and fifth most likely destinations for Davis, respectively. And I would say the Knicks, the Nets, and the Clippers are probably the three most likely options. And I was talking to you about this off air, but I think it'd be interesting to do sort of like a whole episode, like maybe get on the Locked On Nets guys, maybe get on the Locked On Clippers guys, and just sort of do like a full roundtable debate on who the best destination for Davis would be, just in terms of which team could offer up the best package to the Clippers and David Griffin, and the one that would, I guess, most appeal to him in terms of how to build around Zion Williamson. But it was kind of reaffirming to hear, like, Ian basically restate all that and clarify that, yeah, like that's pretty much true. And like he said, like he heard as recently as this week that the Pelicans were pretty intent on not sending him to the Lakers, regardless of the circumstances. And honestly, like, I don't think that's, I mean, you could certainly make the case like that's like obstinance to the point of like potentially hurting yourself for the Pelicans. But I do think on paper, like you could make a pretty compelling case. The Knicks, Nets, and Clippers all have the potential to put together a better package than what the Lakers do. And that's it's a debate, but it's certainly an interesting one. And I guess the only other thing to come out of this that, again, is all this is interrelated, but just the fact that like he kept reiterating that Kevin Durant coming to the Knicks was contingent on them getting a second star. And I think that was something intuitively we kind of knew. Like, I mean, even going back to like last offseason when you started hearing like the initial inklings of this, like, yeah, like Durant to the Knicks is like very much in play. The thought was like, okay, but like who are they going to pair him with? And like, ideally, like in my mind, like what I was thinking for the longest time, like, all right, he'll recognize what like Kristaps Porzingis was for that stretch, what he could be. And hopefully he'll be healthy enough and showing enough that Durant will be willing to commit to play with KP. And then they could maybe add another guy down the road. That's obviously out the window at this point. And now it's looking more and more like Kyrie Irving is out the window at this point. So I guess the question is, Alex, not to be like a panic monger here, but is there a world where Kevin Durant's first choice is the Knicks, but he decides not to come there because the Knicks literally don't have another guy of that caliber that wants to sign up?
I mean, I don't know. It certainly sounds like he wants another star, but I feel like the Knicks have enough means to add another star. And I mean, it would depend too on, you know, what's your definition of another quote unquote star? You know what I mean? Like, cause we're looking at the kind of marquee guys of this offseason, but if you already get Durant, who's one of the, you know, probably three, four best players in the NBA without question. You know, you've already got that like top guy. And we've seen, you know, other teams that have been able to put together good teams with, you know, not two like mega stars on the team, such as the Raptors right now in the finals with Kawhi and a bunch of just like very good players around him. You know, Siakam's taking sort of a star turn and Lowry's been like an all-star, but neither of them are like, you know, all NBA guys yet. So, you know, you could look at someone like Chris Middleton then or something. And Chris Middleton is a star in his own right. You know, he's not a mega star, but he's an efficient scorer. He's a great complimentary player, all that stuff that you look for. So I don't know that the Knicks necessarily have to get like KD and Kyrie Irving to convince him to come. But this is all just me. I'm not, you know what I mean? We're just spitballing. Like, we don't have the actual sourced info on this. But to me, I think that there are multiple avenues you could go that would still, you know, make everything attractive enough for Durant, even if you don't get Kyrie Irving or someone of his ilk, like Kemba Walker or something like that.
Yeah, I guess my concern on that is just sort of a timeline issue and sort of the beauty of what happened with Kawhi was Toronto had already built a multi-year contender before making that trade, and that they had this established core, and that Siakam was, I mean, obviously he's not in his prime, but was ready to go be a star this year. Fred VanVleet was ready to go make ridiculous shots in a finals game. Kyle Lowry was maybe on the wrong end of his career arc, but simultaneously still playing at an all-star or near all-star level for the majority of the season. And like the Knicks don't necessarily have that same infrastructure. And given that fact, I do think it's a little bit of a concern that it looks like Kyrie Irving isn't going to come. And to your point, they could go get a Bradley Beal, but would that be enough? Like, would they have to get Beal and Middleton? Would they have to get Beal and Davis? I don't know. And I guess I'm starting to feel more and more that the Knicks' ability to get Durant is somewhat contingent on their ability to win the Davis sweepstakes. And that, I guess, raises other questions, like where else would Durant go? And maybe that could flip. Like, let's just say, like, if the Nets were able to trade for AD and they had Kyrie coming, would that be enough to sort of sway him and convince him, like, okay, this wasn't my first choice, but this is the most appealing option just because the team is in place? Or is he so committed to the idea of being a Knick and the upside that comes with winning as a Knick that's, I think, unique to New York, that he would come here regardless. So I know that's sort of a lot of verbal vomit, but that's kind of how I'm feeling about it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. I guess my panic meter is still not very high, but we'll see in the coming weeks. I mean, it's going to be a long couple of weeks here, but there'll be a lot of news, and one way or another, we're going to figure this out soon enough because June 30th is surprisingly close. It felt like so long ago as of, you know, even just a month ago, and now it's, you know, a matter of weeks away. So we won't have to wait too much longer. But at any rate, Gavin, I think I'm about ready to wrap up here if you are.
Yeah, I'm all good.
All right. So we'll take us out for today. But thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed our chat, however, unfortunately shortened with Ian Begley. And we will certainly try to have him on again soon. In the meantime, though, have a good weekend. Thanks for listening, and we will catch up with you guys soon. Peace.